Gospel artist Kirk Franklin isn't afraid to veer from the norm when it comes to making music. Nearly 15 years ago, he brought a new sound to gospel with his first album, Kirk Franklin and the Family. His music features hints from hip-hop and R&B. It's been played in venues ranging from the pulpit to the nightclub. Some lovers of traditional gospel music say Franklin's way of praising God is too secular, but that hasn't stopped the multi-Grammy winner. He just released his 7th album, it's called The Fight of My Life, and he recently told me why the troubles in his own life inspired him to make the record.
You know, just seeing a lot of people around me, you know, just face challenges, having a lot of friends, you know, get divorced, having a sister that has a real bad drug addiction, and she spent 13 years in prison, and still, you know, it's not, you know, helping her. I mean, she's on the run from the police even now. I mean, she has warrants out for arrest. And just looking at the climate of the culture and seeing so many people fighting just to keep their homes from being repoed, and it just seemed like everybody's fighting for their life right now. And so for me, it was just important for me to let people know that I'm in the fight with them.
So with this album, The Fight of My Life, you have really mixed genres. You have some of the hip-hop gospel, you have ballads, and there's a track that really intrigues me, I Am God, got a rock and roll flavor. Tell me about that song, what it's about, but also how you chose to do the instrumentation.
Sometimes when African-Americans try to do rock music, it ends up sounding like black rock. So what I did is I taught it to a real rock band, you know what I mean? And so the song is about just, you know, kind of been angry at God and been angry at God's process while, you know, God is just reminding us to stop trying to figure it out and just have the confidence and knowing that he knows exactly what he's doing.
Is there any time that you look back on your life and you're surprised that you ended up where you are now? Were there ever moments where you had paths that you could have taken that would have taken you on a totally different road, maybe a road where you never would have made music or you never would have stayed with your faith, or that you would have ended up in a situation pressed to the wall like it sounds like your sister is?
You know, coming up for me, dreaming was a luxury. You know, I never thought I'd really be anything. You know, like all of my childhood friends are either cracked out or in prison or dead. You know, they had all the moves on the court and all the moves on the field, and I was a little church dude that, you know, pants were hand-me-down and clothes were raggedy, and, you know, really didn't have much, you know, to offer. And so I try to be very appreciative and realize that I haven't done anything to really be here, and I you know, don't deserve most of what God has trusted me with or allowed me to have. It's only by his grace, and I just want to be a good steward with it for as long as he wants me to be here.
When you think about transmitting the word through music, what does that mean to you? What does it specifically mean to choose not, for example, to be a preacher, not, for example, to be someone who ministers as, say, a medical professional, but to do it through song and to do it through popular song?
That's just one of the mediums that I feel comfortable in, you know. But at the same time, I mean, you can catch me at your local church, you know, still in the hood. And that's what I still love, you know. I still love standing by the old church where, you know, the preacher, you know, he been preaching about, you know, he got about good 4 sermons, and he been preaching them for like about the last 30-some years. She's nodding her head, ladies and gentlemen. She know what I'm saying. She feel me. So, you know, just wherever the Lord wants to put me, man, it's like, you know, man, this is your gift. I'm just, you know, just trying to manage it for you. So whatever you want me to do, that's what I'm going to do.
Your first single is called Declaration, and it samples the song This Is It. And it's very uplifting and you know, powerful.
Thank you.
Are you trying to reach with this album, having had the success that you've had, are you trying to please your existing fans or reach a new group of people? What are you trying to do in terms of your audience?
Now, ladies and gentlemen, she just listened to 9 tracks on this album. So what I'm going to do is ask her, what do you think? Am I trying to reach a new audience? Am I trying to please the same audience?
Uh-oh.
What do you think?
Stump the interviewer.
What do you think?
Well, I certainly think that at least part of what you're doing is reaching new audiences because you've changed your game a bit. What do you think?
Ooh, she flipped it right back. So this is ping pong. This is a little tennis going on. I'm just trying to be a pen. You know, it's just whatever comes out, as long as it's real and it's genuine, you know, and it's not contrived. You know, just coming up, the music that I listened to was so many different styles. You know, I was raised listening to The Police, Run DMC, you know, Houdini, the Mississippi Mass Choir, to Celine Dion. You know, I did a Christmas song on Josh Groban's new album. You know what I mean? So, you know, I'm a person who just enjoys music.
It sounds like you aren't satisfied with staying in a genre.
Well, you know, that's not what I'm walking around trying to do. I don't have a passion any greater at standing at a local church preaching than I would standing at the Kennedy Center speaking. It's like, for me, it's the same passion. It really is the same passion, you know, because I really do what I do for an audience of one. I'm serious. I mean, every time I stand, you know, I'm standing to make my Heavenly Father happy. And, you know, for me, somebody, especially for me, who came from nothing, who was always told I was going to be nothing, whose mama told me, you know, that she wanted an abortion, you know, and, you know, daddy gave me one thing, and that was a haircut when his daddy died when I was 7 years old. And so that's why I'm so passionate about it.
If you met someone who hadn't listened to your music yet, who was going through a situation that was acute, whether it was just learning that you have AIDS or learning that the person you loved was leaving you,
yeah,
and had built a life with, which track on your album would you send them to for solace?
I'd probably send them to a track called Help Me Believe. Track 4, the first few lines of the song says, I want to believe, but I'm having a hard time seeing past what I see right now. And, you know, that's about as simple as I can say it. Let me believe, I want to believe. I'm no good on my own, please give me another chance. It's hard to believe. I want to talk about your aunt who helped you really get started as a musician. Gertrude.
Yeah, tell me about her.
Yeah, she biologically was my great-great-great aunt. And, she gave me her name. Her husband died when I was 2. He died of cancer. And so she was 64 when she adopted me, and I was 4 years old. And they told me that her husband was the one that kind of planted the musical seed. His name was Jack Franklin. And they said he was a great musician and just a great man of God. And they told me that when he was dying, he reached for me and he was calling for me. And they said that I came to the side of the hospital bed in the house, and they said that he laid his hands on my head. And Gertrude told me, you know, that she really believes that he was praying for his gift and his mantle to be on my life. And Gertrude and I, we used to recycle old beer cans and newspapers to pay for my music lessons. We would stand inside, we'd stand outside Christmas and get government cheese sandwiches. And, you know, that big block of government cheese. They had a program in Texas called Goodfellas back in the 70s. And you could apply, if you were low income, to get help. And what's really cool is I still have this letter that Gertrude wrote to the newspaper, asking to be put on the list, because the letter says that she's a widow and she doesn't have money to be able to get her boy something for Christmas. As a matter of fact, saying that to you, you know, I've never let my kids see that letter.
Mm.
And this Christmas, I want them to see that letter. Wow. I'm going to get that letter out and I'm going to show my kids, because my kids go to private school. They ain't never had one for nothing. And I want their behinds to see. We got to be grateful, because of course, Gertrude's been dead now for 17, 18 years, and so they never met her. And it was her sacrifice that even allowed them now to live the life that they're living.
Do you ever worry that your children will find it harder to walk a path of God because they're so privileged?
Not necessarily because they're privileged, because I don't play that in my house. It's like, you know, everybody in my house has to work for what they get. My daughter, she graduated from school, even though it was a very good private school. She got a used Jeep. And until we saw some grades, she was not able to take it to college. You know, I'm not trying to create little monsters, and, you know, and I don't have a problem popping with my little ones on their behind when they try to get too, you know, crazy. And because there are a lot of kids I see in grocery stores, and it's like, man, please, can I pop your child? You know, you over there cussing your mom out. It's like, please, here's my number. And if you need somebody to whoop your kids, you can page me 24 hours. Because I'm saying, I thought about starting a little side job and give me some cars and say, I'll whoopyourkids.com. If you have some grocery store kids, if you're listening to this broadcast right now, we're going to give you a number after this broadcast, and I will fly into your city and whoop your kids.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, my gosh.
What I am concerned about more than anything is not the old issue of being privileged, but where will their faith be? Because having faith in our culture right now is coming so it's not something that becomes the glue to who people are anymore.
When you think about faith and pluralism, there's what's going on in the U.S. and then there's what's going on between the U.S. and other places. For example, in Israel and Palestine, you have two people who have deeply held beliefs, and for many reasons, not just religious, those beliefs have sometimes become a barrier to peace. Do you believe that belief itself, belief in a specific religion like Christianity, like Islam, can sometimes be a barrier to the very things, the very ideals that you hold dear?
Yes, there will be barriers. And what has to happen is that my barrier shouldn't cause me to take a gun and kill you. And I think that the challenge is that when we begin to shed blood and kill each other over those barriers, that I, you know, believe in America that a person that believes in Islam should be able to drive down the street and not be afraid of being shot by a Christian. That to take that person's life is just as much as a sin. That it's a sin to kill that man based on what that man believes. That man lives in this country. And if I want the freedom to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then I have to allow that Muslim brother to believe in what he believes about Allah.
Before we let you go, what do you want to accomplish next? Is there anything that you haven't done that you really want to do?
I am so, you know, just right now at this stage in my life of just really wanting to do what's been planned out for me to do and what's been divinely orchestrated for me to do. Because every good idea, I mean, it's a God idea. You know, that's what I choose to live by. And so whatever that is, I mean, you think I'm going to have a little future in politics, you think?
If you want it.
Could I do it? You think I could do it?
You know, Obama might need a running mate.
And I don't think he would call Kirk. I just don't see him calling.
Time to
me.
Put your name on the short list.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. There you go. And since I'm already vertically challenged, that'd be good for me to get on short.
Well, Kirk Franklin, appreciated talking to you, and keep us in mind as you move forward through all your paths.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Kirk Franklin's new album is The Fight of My Life. About your finances, your future, where you can't even sleep at night. I speak against depression and fear, every attack from the enemy. This is your day, the Lord made it, baby. God has set you free. Come on. Can't mess with my mind anymore. That's our show for today, and thank you for sharing your time with us. To listen to the show or subscribe to our podcast, visit our website, nprnewsandnotes.org. No spaces, just nprnewsandnotes.org. To join the conversation or sign up for our newsletter, visit our blog at nprnewsandviews.org. News and Notes was created by NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Tomorrow, gospel music legend Shirley Caesar. Yes, I believe, I'm Farai Chidea. This is News and Notes.